falsely accused, and he has the man before him that can set him free like that. And instead of arguing for his freedom, what he does is he witnesses. What does he witness about? He witnesses about something each and every one of us can witness about. He witnesses about his conversion experience. Now, he doesn't start talking about how them Jews did me dirty. He ain't talking about how them Pharisees got me all hemmed up in the game. He ain't start talking about none of that. He start talking about, well, you know what? One day, I was on my way to Damascus. He gave his testimony. And at the end of this particular pericope, he says, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Welcome to this week's episode of I'm Saved Now What, where we're empowering believers to serve Christ. I'm your host, Rob Williams, and this week's episode's title is Kingdom Vision, and we hope this episode blesses you. To that end, be sure to visit our website and connect with us via social media to voice your comments and ask your biblical questions regarding the episode. Our website is www.iamsavednowwhat.com. Again, the title of this episode is Kingdom Vision, and it focuses on Acts chapter 26, verse 12 through 20, which reads, "While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests at midday, O King, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard to kick against the goad. And I said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, but rise and stand to your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but I declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance." Well, let's get back and hear more about Kingdom Vision. God bless. You know, one thing about God is God is a planner. And the Bible says that he declared the end at the beginning. What Christ does is he doesn't haphazardly just do stuff. He doesn't just start something and just sort of see how it works and work it out. No, that's not really what he does. What he does is he thinks it completely out to his end, and then he comes all the way back and then starts the beginning. So there's nothing out of his knowledge. There's nothing out of his understanding about what's going to happen, because he's already worked all the way out to the end and then rolled it right back up. It's sort of like when you were a youngster, and I remember when I was a youngster, I used to try to figure out that Rubik's Cube. You know that Rubik's Cube? And what I try to do is when you get it, when it's right, you know, what you try to do is you twist it one time and then you twist it back. And then you say you twist it 2-3 times and you learn to twist it back. And then, you know, after you feeling yourself a little bit, you twist it to a point where you mess up and you can't get it back. You're like, hey, hold on. How that happened? I done confused myself. So why you take it apart and just sort of hammer it back together? Why? Yeah. Why? Because we got confused. Well, God, what he does is he works at the end. He starts at the end, and then he works everything back to the beginning. That's why it says in the Bible, it says that Jesus Christ was slain before the foundations of the world. What that meant was before Adam and Eve even had the fall, Christ knew it was going to happen and knew he was going to have to send his son. So it wasn't a fall that he didn't see. It was something that he expected and already made provisions for. Why? Because Christ is a planner. He always starts at the end and then works back at the beginning. Even with your life, he starts at the end and then works back at the beginning. He told Jeremiah, man, I know you think you a priest. I know you think you got that going on, but I've already made your end a prophet. And so now that I'm calling you here at the beginning, please know I'm calling you with the end in mind, because he never starts where we think he starts. He always starts at the end. Now, because of that, because he starts at the end, that makes God a God of vision. Now, I say vision because we're human, but to God, it ain't vision. You know, it's just, it is. You know, God isn't stuck in time, but I got to say human because I'm stuck in time. And so what God always does is he has a intended vision, an end that he's looking at, and he's working everything to it. So when we talk about vision, we're not talking about something we want. We're not talking about our desire, goals for our organization. If you look at vision from a organizational perspective, I think Billy Clinton really made it a big piece in American society where he ran on the platform of his vision for America. You know, he had a vision. What he would do is he would outline some great things and then say, that's my vision for America. And man, that thing got him elected, and I ain't mad at him. But God's vision isn't like that. God is actually looking at an expected end that's going to happen, and he is working everything to that end. So when we're talking about the vision of for our lives, we're not talking about something that is a hope. We're actually talking about something that puts us into the plan of God's unfolding vision for all of life. See, God's vision is very simple. God's vision is housed in Revelation. We understand how this thing ends. It ends with a new heaven and it ends with a new earth. So he's working everything for his kingdom. Sin, Satan, saints, and sickness are all ruled by him. That's his vision. And so we understand how that ends, but how do we play a part in that? Well, that's what our vision is. When I say our vision, I'm not saying our vision as it originates from us. What I'm saying is we have a piece of the vision that God is unfolding throughout humanity. God has dispatched each and every person in this room to help propel what he has already sanctioned to happen at the end. I have to say that when we talk about vision, because a lot of times we talk about vision and it becomes what we want God to do for us, with us, through us, and by us. But that's not the vision that God has for us. The vision that God has for us, we're simply a cog in the wheel, a spoke in the wheel that's rolling toward his full manifestation of the kingdom. We have to understand that. So God wants to bring his kingdom to pass, and the vision that he's going to give you and I is a vision that helps bring that to pass. That's why I like this particular text, because this particular text gives us some great insight when it comes to vision. It helps us understand what a real vision is, does, and how it works. Because if you look at this particular text, you see it's Paul. Paul is standing before King Agrippa. Now think about this. Paul is standing before the man that can release him from his chains. Paul has been falsely accused, and he has the man before him that can set him free like that. And instead of arguing for his freedom, what he does is he witnesses. Amen. What does he witness about? He witnesses about something each and every one of us can witness about. He witnesses about his conversion experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, he doesn't start talking about how them Jews did me dirty. He ain't talking about how them Pharisees got me all hemmed up in the game. He ain't start talking about none of that. He started talking about, well, you know what? One day I was on my way to Damascus. He gave his testimony. And at the end of this particular pericope, he says that, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Now, this is interesting here because he didn't say I was not disobedient to my vision. He said I was not disobedient to the vision. See, we have to stop and understand that you ain't got no vision that's unrelated to his vision, because if y'all have your own individual visions, neither one of you has God's vision. God understands how this thing is going to end. And God has made you a wheel, and that's a spoke in that wheel. And if you try to do anything other than what God is trying to do through you, then you're not a part of the vision. And if you're not a part of the vision, then you're working against the vision. So we have to no longer try to pull our vision. See, and the church has messed us up. Because the church has taught us, you want to know the vision for your life? What are you good at? What do you like to do? What kind of background have you come from? Pull all these things together and you can determine the vision for your life. That's bull. That's bull. Because the Bible tells us with Jeremiah, he says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I ordained you a prophet. And so we're trying to figure out what God wants to do for us by looking at what happened after our mother's womb, and that's impossible. You cannot determine the vision for your life by looking at the events of your life. Because the vision for your life was established before the events of your life ever happened. So whatever you came from, wherever you think you came from, whatever experiences you had, that ain't got nothing to do with your vision necessarily. God may use those things to help you minister, help you relate, but that doesn't mean you're stuck. Why? Because the vision for God for your life was before your mother's womb. So in this particular text, Paul is saying, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. So let's understand what the heavenly vision is. Because all of our visions, if it's from God, has the same characteristics. And this text gives us those characteristics. But before we do that, we got to understand the context of vision. So you want to understand what the vision is, but you got to be in the right context. And that context is you have to be converted. In this particular text, it starts off with Paul saying his testimony, talks about his testimony and his testimony of his salvation when he met God. And I've come to find that while Paul's testimony of when he met God is miraculous, it's jaw-dropping, but I found that all of our testimonies should be very similar. The first thing about this his testimony that I found interesting is he says he was on his road to Damascus. He had some business he was taking care of. He was taking care of some things. And then it said, and about midday, which if you smell the text, it's pretty much like in the middle of his stuff. You know, it wasn't morning. He wasn't just getting up. He was in the middle of his stuff. God knocked him down. See, before you can have a vision, you have to get saved. And before you can get saved, you got to get knocked down. God has to knock you down in the middle of your stuff. While in the middle of you doing what you do, you riding, you rolling, and God has to knock your tail down. He has to make you understand, okay, I need your attention. God has to knock you down. I remember I gave my life to Christ. Man, I thought life was all right. Life wasn't too bad. I was a single man, no kids, engineer, making nice money with no kids. So I was doing my thing, and God knocked me down. Until you get knocked down by God, you ain't never met God if you ain't got knocked down by God. What you met is culture. What you met is a get out of pain free car. If you ain't never been knocked down by God, and you believe you've given your life to Christ, you probably haven't. What you did is you said, okay, I just want to stop hurting. God, when he introduces himself to you, he knocks you down. Your life ain't as satisfying as it was before you met him. Life was good until he knocked you down. That's the first thing God does. He knocks your tail down. Your haughtiness knocked down. Then after he knocks you down, he then shows you your error in spiritual things.
Come on now.
He said, that's what he tells Paul. He said, I am Christ, the one you persecuted. It's hard to kick against the goads. The goads are really pricks. It's a bed of nails. So when you kick against the bed of nails, you ain't hurting the bed of nails. You hurting yourself. And so he lets Paul know that not only did I knock you down, but I also want you to know you're spiritually off. See, if you've met Christ, you understand what you thought you knew about God before was wrong. You understand that what you embraced about God was completely opposite. If you met Christ, he knocks you down and he shows you the error of your spiritual ways. That's how he rolls. And then he goes on. And when you meet Christ, not only does he knock you down, show you your error. When you meet Christ, you know for sure that he's Lord.
Amen.
In the text, he goes, who is this? That's what Paul asked. Who are you? Because who are you, Lord? Because I know when I meet God. Because this thing, only God can do this. I need to know who you are so I can understand the error, so I can be corrected in my ways. Who are you? Who are you, Lord? I am Christ, the one you persecuted. When you meet Christ, something in your knower, you know you met God. When you meet him, oh, you know for sure that you met God. How you know? You don't even know how you know, but you know. Why? Because you got knocked down. You got knocked down. So before you can have purpose, you have to first have salvation. And to have salvation is you have to be willing. You have to be okay with that knockdown. You got to get knocked down. You got to understand that your spiritual thoughts, your spiritual ways are faulty. Now, if anybody had good spiritual ways before they gave their life to Christ, Paul would have. He was a Jew. He's a Pharisee. You know, our belief is built upon Judaism. So he should be right. And God is like, no, you off. And so after you've given your life to Christ, after you've been knocked down, after you have understood your spiritual life or your spiritual discernment is completely off, and after you understand that he's Lord, then you're open for vision. There are three aspects to a heavenly vision that you got to have, and they're all housed in the text. In the text, he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. So what's the vision, Paul? In verse 16, he says, rise, stand to your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose. This is the purpose I got for you. I didn't just appear to you so you can just be saved. I didn't just appear for you so you can just take my salvation and just sit on the bench with it. I appeared to you. I knocked you down. I corrected you. I've done this for a purpose. And here's the purpose. He wants to make and send. That's what God wants to do. He wants to make and send. He says, my purpose for you is to make you a minister. That word minister there is servant. He's like, I want to make you a servant. That goes antithetical to what we've been raised in our secular society of, you know, we want to be the king. We want to be the boss. We want to be that guy. But he says, no. I'm going to make you a servant. Your life is going to be a life of service. And not only are you going to serve me, You're going to serve others because of me. I'm going to make you a minister and a servant. Man, this, the Protestant church we have now, you know, and I've talked about Protestantism. And one of the things I don't like about our modern Protestant church is we make ministers somebody special. The Bible calls all of us ministers of reconciliation. So you have a ministry. Now, you may not be able to sit in the front, but you got a ministry. Why? Because God is making you a minister. God wants to make you a minister. And then he says, not only am I going to make you a minister, but I'm going to make you a witness. The Bible tells us that after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, I'm in Acts chapter 1, he says, then you will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. God wants to make you a witness. A lot of us try to make our faith or keep our faith under the cover. God wants you to talk about your faith. See, but God, you can't witness about something that you ain't experienced. That's why he had to knock you down. See, if salvation was just an easy, sort of breezy experience, then it wouldn't be traumatic enough for your witness to be worth a damn. It was the knockdown that you witnessing about. I thought I was riding high, and God knocked my tail down and showed me that everything I knew about him was upside down. And that's when I made him Lord. But you can't be a witness to something that never happened. So God wants to make you a minister. He wants to make you a servant. And then he wants to make you a witness. So that's what he wants to make you. But then it tells you what does he want to do? He also wants to send you. He says, I want to send you to those who got blinded eyes. I want to send you to those who need their life turned around. So not only is he going to make you a witness, not only is he going to make you a servant, I mean a witness, not only is he going to make you a minister, but he's also going to make you a deliverer. He's ultimately the deliverer, but he's going to start using you to help people get their deliverance. God is sending you to people who need a turnaround. God is sending you to people who need to get knocked down too. That's heavenly vision. See, we have visions for what we want God to do for us and with us. That's not vision. That's added. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. He'll add some of that stuff to you. He ain't tripping on that. But that can't be your vision. Your vision has to be about being a minister, about being a witness, and about being a deliverer. About going to the lost. That's the heavenly vision. That's why Paul didn't get up and start talking about his stuff. Because he knew ultimately his stuff was in the hand of God. And he saw his opportunity before Agrippa. He saw it as a way to preach the gospel to someone who ain't never going to get it preached to by nobody else.
Amen.
Heavenly vision doesn't involve houses, doesn't involve cars. It doesn't involve your personal stuff. It involves you being a minister, you being a witness, and then you being a deliverer. Think about this. Think about this. The Bible says that these signs shall follow those who believe. He says, they'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. That's your ministry. Deliver. Think about this. What is more awesome?
Come on now. Come on now.
God giving you a new car, or God healing someone of cancer through your touch? And if the car is more appealing to you, then maybe you haven't been knocked down. Because there are people out here hurting, and they need you to come through with your ministry.
Amen.
They need to come, you to come through with your witness. And they need you to come through with your deliverance. You got deliverance in your hand. People think that you got to be a mature believer before you can walk in these signs and wonders. But this text tells you that ain't true. Because the text says that once he received the call, in the text it says, at Damascus, I started doing what he's called me to do. I got knocked down on the way to Damascus, but by the time I got to Damascus, he ain't know no more about Christ. He was still a babe from the Christian perspective, but what happened? He started his ministry right there, right where he was. See, a lot of us try to, we got to wait until we grow in the faith and do all these things. But God is saying, right there in his Damascus, he started being obedient to the heavenly vision. Right there. See, a lot of us want God to send us to other places. He's like, forget the sin right now. Right where you are in Damascus, and I'll take you from Damascus and send you to Jerusalem. I'll send you to Judea. I'll send you to the Gentiles. I'll send you to the world. But you got to start here. God's vision for you is not for a futuristic time when it comes to initiation. God's vision for you starts now.
Amen.
Wherever you find yourself, please understand, if you've been knocked down by Christ, wherever you find yourself, you will find that there are people around you who need a servant, who need a witness, and need a deliverer.
Come on, man.
Well, brothers and sisters, that's our time for this week. But make sure you visit us on our website at www.IamSavedNowWhat.com. On the website, you can sign up for our free electronic Bible study, and through the social media links on the website, you can ask your biblical question regarding today's message. Also, you can contact us through the website to inquire about having us speak at conferences and seminars in the US and the UK. Again, the website is www.IamSavedNowWhat.com. Be blessed.